We're going to go to Psalms 12 today, Psalms 12. I told you I was kind of going to pick out some psalms and teach through some of the psalms for a little bit of a series. And so we did Psalms 1 last week. We're going to get into Psalms 12 this week. Psalms 1 I call the How to Be Blessed Psalm, and we won't reteach that, but you want the blessings of the Lord. Psalms 1 gives you some important ways to secure God's blessing. Now, I like Psalms 12, and I like it because of the first two words, okay? I was in a church in Iowa years ago, and they were having revival meetings, but every morning they had a men's prayer meeting during the revival meeting, and I was asked to just give maybe about a 5 or 10 minute deal about prayer, and then we spent probably close to an hour in prayer asking God to bless the meeting. And so they wanted me to do a sermon or a devotional on prayer. And I taught them on the prayer that Jerry Ross prays the most. And I told them it's a two-word prayer. I'm going to let you guess. And then I had them turn to Psalms chapter 12. And I said, here's the prayer that I preach the most. Matter of fact, I had to laugh at myself this morning because when I left the office, I had to go back in the foyer area, and I know it doesn't seem like a long way, but there was two things I had to get out of the foyer. And, you know, when you leave one room and walk into another room to go get two things, come on, some of you, I see you nodding your head. Thank you. Even if it doesn't happen to you, if you would go like that, it would make me feel better, okay? And I literally was leaving the office saying, I need to get that brochure on the NIV, and I need to get Brother No-No's prayer letter. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, help, Lord. Help me remember that. And that may sound crazy, but I think some of you are relating it. It doesn't sound crazy. I am not just making this up. Honestly, the prayer that I've prayed the most in probably the last 20 years is just stop and say, help, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I need help with this. Lord, I need help with this. Lord, I need help with this. And folks, that's a great prayer to just latch on to. I believe prayer is a declaration of our dependency upon the Lord. I think prayerlessness is a declaration of our independency from the Lord. Because if we're not praying, what we're telling the Lord is, we really don't need you. And let me say this. We do. We do. And that ought to be something we are very aware of in our lives, that we need the Lord's help. David was in a time where he needed God's help. And if you look at the next several verses, all the way down to verse 8, he kind of tells you why he needs God's help. He was a king, but the majority of the people were doing wrong. He was a godly leader. Think about this, trying to lead many who were ungodly. He was facing some challenges, and, you know, he needed help, and he couldn't find help from the people around him. Why? Look at these verses. For the godly man ceaseth. And you know what, folks? America needs help for the same reasons that I'm going to list that David was praying that he needed help. Why? Because the majority of the people in Israel were forsaking godliness. He said, for the godly man ceaseth. He said, wait a minute. There was a time not that long ago where I look around and people were living godly lives and people were pursuing holiness and people had a moral compass and a sense of right and wrong. And where are they, Lord? Even the ones that used to have those things, they've forsaken those things. They've quit that. So they were forsaking godliness. They were becoming unfaithful. For the faithful fell from among the children of men. Folks, look right up here. I just want to say this. You're in Sunday school. This is my Sunday school crowd. This is the same people. I mean, 98% of the people in this room will be here, stay for the service, be here for Sunday night, be here for Wednesday night. I just want to say this. Thank you for being faithful. And don't forsake faithfulness. Men, don't forsake faithfulness to your wife. Come on, wives. Don't forsake faithfulness to your husband. Man alive, let's be faithful. Don't forsake faithfulness when it comes to the way that God has directed you to serve him. Just stay faithful. But David's looked around and said, okay, they're forsaking godliness. They're forsaking, they're becoming unfaithful. Verse 2, they were consumed with things that meant nothing. Think about this. This is America. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. And here they're consumed constantly with things that don't matter. When it talks about vanity there, it's talking about emptiness, things that don't matter. And one of the things that the devil has just absolutely become an expert in, and that is get America distracted and I mean consumed with things that aren't going to matter a hoot when it comes to eternity. I mean, just obsessed with things and talking about things, and that's where their focus is. Then it talks about flattering lips and with a double heart did they speak. They spent their time talking about things that mean nothing. They spent their time talking deceitfully. Verse 3, they were filled with pride. It says, the Lord shall cut off all the flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Man, I just went through this morning. I was reviewing the lesson. I was thinking, this is America. And in verse 4, they believed that they could say what they wanted and were not answerable to anyone. Do you ever get a sense of that when you're just listening to people and talking to people? And if you look there in verse number 4, who have said, with our tongues will we prevail, our lips are our own. Wow, what a question. Look at this last one. Who is Lord over us? We'll say what we want to. It's nobody else's business. That sounds like America right now. You know, think that they're not ever going to answer. And yet the Bible, Jesus said, be careful what you're saying, because you're going to answer for every idle word. And that's one of those portions of scripture that just strikes fear in my heart. It makes me want to slow down and really think about what I'm saying. Right. And maybe to spend less time talking and more time listening. So think about that. They were oppressing the poor and the needy in verse number 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And so they were oppressing the poor. God is hearing that. He's hearing the sighing of the needy. And there were people in places of authority that were taking advantage of people that had nothing. People that had a lot, taking from people that had very little. Look at verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Okay, now think about that. How can I read that last statement and not think about where our government is? Come on, we just went through the primaries, getting ready to go through another election. And sometimes I just look at the choices, honestly, and just shake my head and think to myself, what are we doing in America? It's 360 million people in this country. And, you know, this is the cream that rises to the top. Folks, when we've gotten into a society where you have to be a multimillionaire in order to even run for office, how in the world are those people going to understand the way we live and understand our values and properly represent us? I don't know how we got here. Used to be a time that anybody could decide that they wanted to, they could run, and they didn't have to have, you know, 25, 30, $40 million in some kind of a political, you know, war chest in order to run a campaign, or they didn't have a chance. That's insanity. You think about this. The amount of money, this is funny, if you do your homework a little bit, the amount of money that's being spent for a job that pays a fraction of that money.
Right.
Okay, something's not right.
That's right.
I'm not the smartest, come on, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can figure out something's not right. Okay, we got politicians making, you know, $175,000, $200,000 a year, and they've been in there 4 years, and now they're worth $18 million. I don't know where they're investing their money, but I want a piece of that, all right? Where do I need to invest? Something's not right. So there's corruption. Our government, and you say, preacher, I don't think you ought to dabble in politics. Well, show me somebody in the Bible that was a preacher that didn't dabble in politics.
Right.
I mean, show me one person. Come on. Moses went and looked at Pharaoh and said, let my people go. He confronted a political leader about what he was doing wrong.
That's right.
Come on. John the Baptist got beheaded. You know why? Okay, he messed in politics. I might get beheaded one of these days for it. But we need to speak out against the corruption and the sin that's going on in our government right now. So anyway, I'll leave that alone, go on. But this is what David's looking at. And so we can relate to this. Preacher, good night, I'm trying to do right, and I look around and everybody's forsaking godliness. Folks, I'm going to preach a message pretty soon on compromise, but there's things going on in our Independent Fundamental Baptist movement that's just grieving my heart. Independent Fundamental Baptist used to mean something. It almost means nothing anymore. And I'm not going to go down that road now, but we are compromising. We are surrendering things. We are allowing things in our churches that just would not have even been believed or thought of not that many years ago. And it is. It's a grief to our heart. So he said, I'm looking around, and he said, he needs help from the Lord. He needs help from the Lord. So what does David do? He cries out to God. If you think about this, this is a song, but a lot of the songs in the book of Psalms was basically a prayer that was sung. It was a direct prayer to Almighty God that they sang, and that's what this is. It's a prayer. Help me, Lord. Help, Lord. There's reasons I need your help. I'm trying to live godly in an ungodly world. I'm trying to be faithful amongst unfaithfulness. I'm trying to make my life matter for something when everyone else is consumed with things that don't matter. I'm trying to be truthful when everyone else is speaking deceitfully. I'm trying to be humble when all I see is pride. I want to be careful of what I say, and yet people around me talk as if they're never going to have to answer for what they said. I want to be a blessing to the poor and needy, and yet I watch our, you know, society take advantage of them, and he's just crying out to God. Now, there's two things I want to bring you, and we've got just about enough time maybe to cover them, but there's two things. When you get to this point where you just get overwhelmed and you're like, preacher, what do we even do? Well, David did two simple things in this psalm. Number one, I've already mentioned it. He cried out to the Lord. I just believe that there's still a remnant. Say, preacher, you know, you paint a picture of America and it's not encouraging. Yeah, I know it's not, but I still believe that there's a remnant. I still believe that if enough people got on their knees and really cried out and asked God to help us, that he would hear those prayers. Folks, it's easy to despair and just get to the point where it's like there's nothing we can do. Well, there's just, you know, there's nothing we can do. We can pray. That's not a little thing. Amen. We can ask God to help us. So in the middle of this environment, David goes to the Lord. And we'll probably teach through it, but I may have you turn to Psalms 121 just real quickly if you want to flip over there. Because David, when anytime he needed help, when he needed help, he went to the Lord. And yeah, we can talk about it, and we can gripe about it, and we can complain about it. But you know what David said? Boy, in Psalms 121, a beautiful psalm, think about this. He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my what? Okay, that's what he's praying for. So where do you find it? You look up. My help cometh from the Lord. And by the way, this is the Lord's resume, which made heaven and earth. Some tells me that if he was able to do that, he can probably help Jerry Ross with whatever problems I'm going to have to face this week, okay? He will not, think about that, God, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Oh, this is encouraging, folks. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And you know what, folks? We can rely on the Lord. He's a 24/7 God, okay? He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't daydream. His mind doesn't wander. He doesn't forget. What a God. And then verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forever. Woo, forevermore. And so I don't know where you're at. And you say, preacher, you know what? I'm facing this or I'm facing that. And honestly, preacher, I need God's help right now. You know, things going on in my family, maybe some financial challenges I'm facing, maybe some health problems I'm facing. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that can bring us to that point, things that can bring us to a point of despair. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. And so what did David do? The first thing he did was he turned to God and he prayed to the Lord. When we need help, we should kneel down. Amen. It's important to pray in times of distress. Is it important to pray in times of distress and despair? Of course it is. Don't forget, folks, God truly cares. He truly cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And he's powerful enough to help you. We just read that. He created the heavens and the earth. And I love this. We don't have time this morning, but man, go to Mark chapter 4 and read about Jesus bringing calm in the midst of a storm. And I don't know what you're in the middle of, but you know what? If you cry out to the Lord, it's amazing how God can just bring you that time of peace no matter what you're facing. But wait a minute. Let's not forget the last few verses here. Verse 6 and 7 are so important because when David needed help from the Lord, yes, he prayed to the Lord and he humbled himself and he put his eyes upon God and he remembered the character of God and the care of God. And so he got strength from that. But also then we see David turning to the Word of God. This is on purpose that verse 6 and 7 is found in Psalms chapter 12. The Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so where did he get his help? He got his help from a prayer and interacting with the Lord. And then he's like, okay, everybody's speaking deceitful, everybody's speaking vanity. Where can I go and listen to words that I know are true and right and will help me and strengthen me? And so he's now bringing up, of course, the subject of the Bible. Oh, preacher, we're going to do this again? It just seems like all the answers to everything when we come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church keeps coming to get back to prayer and the Bible. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I literally several months ago, had a young lady say to me when I was trying to help her and I kept pointing her to prayer in the Bible. She literally said, prayer in the Bible, that's all I ever hear. Sometimes you need more than that. Okay, look right up here. You may be tempted to want to jump on that bandwagon. Let me tell you who says that prayer in the Bible isn't enough. People who don't pray and people who aren't in the Bible. Okay, because what you're really saying is God's not enough. And he is.
Amen.
What they want to do is not pray, not really get in the Bible, because if they get in the Bible, they might have to actually find the principles that they don't want to find and have to do things they don't want to do. So they want to go to some other source. Folks, prayer and the Bible is enough. Okay, God gave you enough in this book right here to help you to be successful in life. He gave you enough truth in this book to have a great marriage. Right here. Say, are you against outside sword? I don't mind if you read a book about this or a book about that. Just make sure it's Bible-based.
That's right.
That's my thing.
Yes.
There's so much of this marriage books and marriage advice that I'm reading excerpts of, and I'm thinking, okay, that says this, but I could take a verse and tell you that that's not true. Better make sure it's you're getting marriage advice. Hey, there's enough truth in this to raise good kids.
Amen.
In this book right here.
That's right.
If we would just obey the child-rearing principles in this book, I don't care what the society is like, you can still raise great kids. Okay, but you got to do it by this book. And again, a lot of times, even in child rearing, some people are running to outside sources. You know why? It's not that they don't know what this book says about it. They don't want to do what this book says about it. Okay, somebody that's sneaking around listening to Dr. Phil, and if any of you, just look right up here, are listening and watching that Ellen DeGenerate.
Come on.
And I'm saying it right, degenerate.
That's right.
And you want to go to her for your philosophies of life and your worldview of life. It makes me sick.
Yep.
that she has so many children on her show. You listen to this preacher. Sodomites can't reproduce, so they have to recruit. And that's what's happening in our society. And we're letting them in our schools. Parents are letting them get by with that. Putting them in the schools. If there was, listen, you say, well, preacher, oh, no. This book is true. God condemns the sin of homosexuality. He says it's an abomination to him. It's an abomination to God. Nobody was ever born that way. It's a sin they choose. Okay? Well, that's not what I heard on Dr. Phil, of course. I don't imagine Ellen is telling you that either. But if we would just get back and have a reset in the moral compass of America and call what God calls sexual perversion, we could maybe turn this country back. So, you know, this David says this book, and then he says this about it, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified 7 times. So when I read something in the Bible, I know it's pure. When I hear something that is opposite of the Bible, I know it's impure. Well, this is deep stuff. I'm glad you came today. This is deep stuff, you know. If I read something in the Bible, it's right. If I read something that is opposite of the Bible, then it's wrong.
Amen.
Okay, if I read something in the Bible, it's the truth. If I read something that is opposite of what I read in the Bible, it's a lie. And if you just settle that, then you know what? You won't be swayed by society. You won't be following this or that. You won't become convinced of a bunch of nonsense. You won't say, well, we just can't say certain things anymore. Yes, we need to say them louder than we've ever said them before right now, because they're going after your children. They're going after your grandchildren. Okay? And it's about time, instead of being mute mouth, we stood up to it. I think every parent, what would be your suggestion, okay? And I'm sure not all of Jasonville and Greene County, Sullivan and Clay County is listening to this preacher. They ought to get on the website and listen to me. Maybe they get some sense. But I mean, if every single Christian parent that claims to be a Christian would yank their kids out of the public school, they'd have to shut the doors. But because we tolerate it, and we're so afraid somebody's going to call us a name. Well, you're a bigot, or you're this, or you're the homophobe, or you're whatever else they call. Well, you know what? I'm not worried about their name. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names have never harmed me. Give me a break. And I'm not going to let somebody call. You know why they have to call names? Because they don't have a good argument. Okay? Anytime someone starts calling names, it's because they don't have a good argument. They can't answer you. And so, you know, God's word is pure, folks, and it's preserved too. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forevermore. Now, that's not just a light verse about the Bible. Let me have your full attention, because I think most of you know this. But I believe not only in the purity of the scriptures, I believe in the preservation of the scriptures. And what that means, according to the Bible, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. What? The words of the Lord, verse 6. The pure words of the Lord, the words that have been as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Now, what that means is this. David recognized that God in heaven has declared that he will take custodial care of the words of the Bible, of every word of the Bible. He will take custodial care of. What does that mean? He's going to see that every word is preserved for all generations. Okay, now once you realize that God, by the way, God's well capable of doing that. You know, there's inspiration when he gave the very words to men and men wrote them down. I tell people, you know what, it's like God picked up men like a pen and used them to write his words. Okay, so we say, well, Paul wrote that. No, God picked up Paul and God wrote that through Paul. So we have inspiration. Then we have the duplication, because folks, people say, well, I believe that the scriptures were preserved as they were in the original manuscripts. There are no original manuscripts.
Right.
There are no original manuscripts. None. So God knew that they would have to be copied. The scribes in the Bible, well, you know the word scribes? Think about what the word scribe means. Okay, the scribes in the Bible, one of their duties was duplicating the scripture. You say, well, there's no way that they could copy it over and over and over again and not make a mistake. Well, they could if God was in charge of it and God said, I will take custodian. It's amazing how God can control these men to write it, but he can't control these people to keep it pure. So God was able to inspire it, and he was able to guard it during duplication. But when it comes to translation to a different language, people think that, you know, God just must have trouble with languages. That was just too much for him, you know. I mean, he could give it in the original, and he could guard it, give it and guard it. But when it had to be translated, it was just too much for him. And that's what, folks, listen to me. One of the great things that the devil has done to confuse people is to come up with all these different versions of the Bible. You say, preacher, that Bible you use, what version is that? It's not a version. You'll never hear me say King James Version of the Bible. You'll hear me say King James, what do I say? King James, no, I put another word in there. What do I say? King James Holy Bible. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because I think it's holy. I think God's kept it holy. Well, I think there's mistakes in the King James Bible. Well, then get a black marker and mark out holy on your Bible. Don't be a hypocrite, mark it out, because you don't believe that. I believe it's a holy Bible. Okay? Well, preacher, I got an NIV. Well, let me talk to you about your NIV, and I'm not mad at you. You know, most of the people that carry a Bible just carry whatever Bible maybe somebody gave them. Mom and Dad gave you a Bible, or used to be Grandpa's Bible, or you went to a church for a while and somebody gave you a gift. And because of that, it means something to you, and, you know, so they happen. NIV is the most popular one. Folks, do you realize that there's 17 verses in the Bible that the NIV doesn't even have in the Bible? It's, they're gone. And I had a young man, I can't go through the whole story, we're going to run out of time, but a young man came to this church for a while, and then he stopped going and went to another rock and roll church, and he came back one day, and he had an NIV, and he wanted to talk to me in the back after church about how his Bible was right and mine was wrong. It's amazing. He got saved in this church. The first Bible he was given was a King James Bible in this church. And but he's always misbehaving. Tony, would you watch? Could you talk to him afterwards? And really? Okay. Well, maybe this is more important than what I'm talking about right now. We want to hear the whole story on this. Anyway. I said, is that an NIV Bible that you have there? And he said, yes. And I said, all right, turn to Matthew 18:11. Chapter 18, verse 11. He turned there, and he's looking. He sees 18:10, 18:12. There's no 18:11. Chapter 18, verse 11. He's just looking like, I said, read it. I said, okay, maybe it was a misprint. Go to Acts 8:37. He went to Acts 8:37. Guess what? Not there. Oh, by the way, Matthew 17:21 is not there. Matthew 18:11 is not there. Matthew 23:14 is not there. Mark 7:16 is not there. And I made him look at every one of them. And he was getting all nervous. I'm like, oh, no, we're not done yet. Remember, you got a better Bible than you were given at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Folks, that's just the ones. And there's 17 of them all together. John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:34. Listen, there is something that's written that we'll cover on a Wednesday night pretty soon in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. It tells us that anybody that either adds to or takes away from the words of this book, their name will be taken out of the book of life. That's a big deal. Now, maybe we'll spend more time on it next week, but I'm going to let you know something, folks. By the way, this little brochure that has all this information is in our track rack. If you want to be educated about, you know, the wrong versions of the Bible and the way the devil, listen, in the Garden of Eden, the very first thing we read about the devil is that he's taken the words of God that God spoke to Eve and trying to change them and trying to get her to doubt them. And what we need to do is understand the words of this book, folks, are pure words. All right, we got to be done. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd please, Lord, Bless the service that will follow. Bless our moms that are here today. Help. I pray, Lord, they feel loved and helped today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.